It is not my intention to offer any commentary on the Chargers or the Padres this morning, but I do want to attempt a sports analogy. This is not an insight that I arrived at all on my own. It is something that Pat Summitt, coach of the women's basketball team at the University of Tennessee, has been known to say. Coach Summitt's observation is this. I know she's a basketball coach, but and I am aware this is a baseball analogy. I don't want you to think I'm too remedial when it comes to knowledge of sports. So Coach Summitt's observation is this. Too many people were born on third base and think they hit a triple. Too many people were born on third base and think they hit a triple. But the truth of the matter is, we did not get where we are all on our own. God is the one who gave us life. We were born with gifts and with opportunities. In many cases, we were nurtured, cared for, and supported by others. Not many of us can justifiably say, I am the only person who deserves any credit for who and what I am today. When the Apostle Paul, or someone representing Paul, wrote his second letter to young Timothy, he began by trying to remind Timothy of the context of his life, of all that he had inherited from those who came before him. He seemed to want Timothy to understand, you're really already three-quarters of the way toward your goal, and you have everything you need to victoriously complete the journey. He seemed to want to convey to Timothy, you're standing on the shoulders of others, and they're your team. They don't want you to give up now. Paul stressed that his own exciting purpose in life and Timothy's exciting purpose in life were gifts from God, not based on any great thing that Paul had done or that Timothy had done, but gifts based purely on the goodness and the graciousness of God, the giver. Paul wanted to keep Timothy on track, focused on the wonderful things that God had given him. So here then are the first 14 verses of the second letter to Timothy, written about 50 or 60 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, found on page 966 of those Bibles that are in the racks in front of you in case you would like to read along. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Today I want to talk about the good treasure entrusted to you. The good treasure is anything you know about Jesus that is right and true. It is the faith that someone somewhere somehow passed on to you. It's the spirit of power and love and self-discipline that God put within you. The good treasure is the awareness that life is a gift from God and cannot be taken away from us. It is the knowledge that God loves us without measure and has important work for us to do. Sadly, not everyone is able to recognize or appreciate the treasure. Influential people in this world may look down on us, may jeer at us, may even, as in the case of Paul, imprison or punish us because they do not know or understand about the treasure. But, says the writer of this letter to Timothy, suffering, being criticized, or being condemned for the sake of Jesus and his message is nothing to be ashamed of. It is instead an opportunity to trust and rely on God all the more fully, confident that this God who's already at work in our lives has already given us so many gifts. God is going to be able to get us through any type of trial that we might face. Timothy apparently was feeling pretty sensitive, maybe uncertain about his identity as a Christian. He was a young man, just starting out in the world, perhaps asking himself, do I really want to be affiliated with someone like Paul, who so often has ended up in jail? Or maybe even, do I really want to devote my life to Jesus, who, after all, was tortured and crucified by those in power? What kind of a life am I committing myself to? Maybe instead I should choose some way of life that would be more appealing because it's less difficult or less dangerous. As I think about young Timothy and his inclination to be embarrassed by passionate Paul, who was always getting into trouble because of his enthusiastic preaching, another young adult who had to make the journey from shame to confidence comes to mind. Tsepang Sadaka is a 23-year-old citizen of Lesotho in Africa. She has AIDS. She contracted the virus as a teenager when she was brutally kidnapped and sexually assaulted. She survived and she escaped, but you can imagine how easy it would have been for Tsepang to become mired in isolation and shame. By the time she graduated high school, she was sick and getting sicker. But then she was sent to a special clinic, a clinic funded by charitable donations from many parts of the world, where she started to receive the drugs. She was put on that drug regimen that was able to improve her health and actually to save her life. Once Sepang's condition had stabilized and her strength had returned, she was approached by the workers at the clinic about volunteering as an expert patient. The people who run this clinic have some unique wisdom, an interesting perspective, that when it comes to trying to educate the local population, being HIV positive is actually a great resource. Because Sepang and others like her have way more credibility than outsiders might have as they try to combat the stigma and the fear of AIDS and to convince people to get tested so that they can get proper care and proper treatment and they don't infect others. Their firsthand testimony is powerful, especially when, as in Sepang's case, it's combined with deep religious faith, thoughtful intelligence, and great beauty. Sepang describes her work like this. I'm responsible for monitoring patients who stop taking their medicine and others who need follow-up care. I'm responsible for those patients who have lost hope. I encourage them by sharing my story, teaching them that HIV does not mean death, but means that you can live. They have to leave the past behind them and move forward to their new lives. Sepang does not see herself as contaminated. She is proud to be affiliated with the Carabon Clinic, which specializes in caring for people with HIV and AIDS. The word Carabon in the local dialect means an answer. People come to the clinic knowing they will get answers, she explains. The fact that somebody recognized the treasure entrusted to Saipang Sadaka is what made all the difference in this situation. Somebody from across the globe realized the people of Lesotho are worth saving. We can't just let them die for lack of being able to afford the medication that they need. A nonprofit, non-governmental organization was formed to deliver the drugs and deliver the care that makes sure that they're properly used. And then, after that, somebody from the community recognized, Saipang is sick. She needs help if she's going to survive. I can't just let her slip away. She's too precious for that. I'll send her to the special clinic. And then finally, somebody at the clinic recognized, this girl has a strong spirit. She's not only fighting to survive, she has the gift of being able to encourage others. Let's give her a job and put that gift to use. Thus, because of a whole series of people that saw the gifts that she had to give, Saipang has come to know not only the joy of being alive, but the joy of being able to be of service. A tremendous number of people have now been helped by her influence and by her example. Recognizing the gift, honoring the treasure, putting the gift to work for the sake of others. That's how Saipang came to be who she is today. And that's what Paul was trying to do for Timothy. Look, Timothy, he's trying to say, you've been entrusted with this amazing treasure. Living inside you is faith, a gift from your mother and your grandmother. Living inside you is a courageous spirit given to you by God. You've been taught a tremendous amount about Jesus and about God's vision for the world. Guard that treasure. And if you put it to use, you will be astounded by the way it touches and transforms those around you. If you put it to work, you will be astounded by what God can do. Don't let outward circumstances, illness or poverty, or the scandal of imprisonment shame you or tempt you into hiding, ignoring, or disregarding that precious treasure. Recognizing the gift in you, honoring the treasure, putting the gifts that God gave you to work for the sake of others. This is what the nominating committee of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church is trying to accomplish with next week's Discovery Fair. We who are charged with the task of matching your gifts and talents with the leadership opportunities available within our church want to follow Paul's footsteps in three ways. First, we want to say that we give thanks to God for all of you, and we remember you night and day in our prayers. Second, we want to see you face to face and work with you side by side so that we may all be filled with joy. And third, we know that God has given each of you special gifts, and we hope that you will not hold back from putting those gifts to work for the sake of the life that God wants to give every person. Next week, as a sort of continuation of our worship service, you're going to have a chance to circulate around in the social hall talking to one another about the treasure entrusted to you and how you might share it with others. In addition to faith, in addition to a courageous spirit, God has placed within each of you other gifts as well. Whether it's attention to detail, or enthusiasm for meeting new people, or passion for growing healthy roses, whether it's the ability to visualize a stage set, or the desire to grow in knowledge of the Bible, or expert training in first aid, whether it's comprehension of the inner workings of electrical systems, or the capacity to conduct a productive meeting, or one of countless other talents, your special gift has the potential to make a tremendous contribution in furthering the work of Jesus Christ. God willing, and the water and sewer pipes don't break, I hope that you will be here next week to participate in the process of discovery, the process of connection that I hope and pray will link you in to the ministry of our church and to the joy that comes from sharing with others what you have to offer. The church is where it is today because the people who make up the church through the generations generously donated their gifts of time, skill, interest, and talent. We know that we did not necessarily hit a triple in order to get to third base, but we do know that it feels great to be here, part of a lively and a life-giving community of faith. And certainly, we want to do our part now in racing toward home. The love of God is our greatest treasure, one in which we all share. And so we join together now in lifting our voices to God in prayer. Holy God, you are our heart's desire, and we long to worship you with our prayers, with our songs, with our presence here, and with the gifts and talents that you have placed within each of us. Our greatest treasure is your love poured into our hearts, your spirit living within us and hovering around us. We know, Lord, that we could not live without you any more than any creature could live without water. We pray today that we would never feel ashamed to be labeled a follower of Jesus. We pray that you will help us to guard from corruption the treasure of faith, the treasure of forgiveness. And we pray that at the same time, we might be free in sharing the riches of your mercy, free in proclaiming to all the hope that we have in you. Gracious God, this morning we remember the residents of our neighborhood whose homes have been damaged or destroyed in this past week. We pray that the leaders of our city might be able to bring together resources and solutions to repair the roads and the water pipes that we rely on. We pray, in fact, for your divine inspiration in resolving so many difficult problems here and around the world. Homelessness, illiteracy, international conflict, warfare. We bring so many things in our minds and hearts today that need your grace and wisdom. We bring also joy in our hearts, and we give thanks for those who have returned safely to their families after a time of separation. And we pray that in the days to come, you will begin to show us how we can best serve you through the church and in the world. We look forward now to joining with your people everywhere in receiving your gifts of life and forgiveness, represented here by the bread and the cup. On this World Communion Sunday, we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.